Hey guys, welcome back to Hear My Voices. It's your host, K-Did, back for this week's part two of Rudy's story. I hope that you can take these stories and really understand how people end up in situations that they do. And a lot of times it's not their fault why they become this way. As you remember from her story from part one, she went homeless initially because of her mom and her mental health problems that she have. Guys, I just want you to know, listening to this, that if you know somebody with a mental health problem, if you are a person who's listening to this with a mental health problem and you need help, please get as much help as you need, because it can overwhelm your life without getting proper guidance and proper help. Especially if you have children, your mental health affects what they do and how they live their life and how people actually see and treat them. Be very cautious with the things that you do. And I know at times you cannot help the things that you do based on what you have, but if you get the proper help, and sometimes medicated, or just learn how to deal with certain situations, you'll be okay. I wish you the best. Guys, follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Threads. The links will be down in the bio below. And sit back, relax, grab a little popcorn, and listen to her story. Bye.
That's kind of crazy to me. You said initially when you came in, they didn't give you paperwork, or you said 2 days after. So like a couple of days after they started doing like the intake process, or did they do it like right away? That's interesting how that happens. Like in a shelter, as you get in up in New York City, I've been to 4 shelters. As you come in, they don't make you adjust. They don't care if you're crying, literally, because I was crying at a shelter.
Right.
And they're shoving the paperwork in my face like, you got to sign out this. So I'm like, bro, I just want to get it together. What are you doing?
The lady that owned the whole place, she's a pastor, and she was just not, like, she was nice about it. When I had showed up, I told her, like, you know, this lady gave me the information to come here and stuff like that. The lady that gave me the information was actually a part of the church. Like, she knew. Yeah, she knew the lady, so that's why she told me to come there. Like, she was like, she will help you go there. So yeah, she let me get my, like, let me get some sleep in a bed. You know what I'm saying? Let me be comfortable. But it was only, like I said, it was like 2 days. That's, and then she was like, you have to, yeah.
At least you get to breathe. At least you get to kind of digest and kind of get your thoughts together. At least, like, I got some sleep for a little bit, get a little rest. You're young, you're tired with a baby.
Right.
I think all shelters, yes, you need people's names, socials, I understand that. But to fill every single thing on the first day, it can be very overwhelming for a person. It can be too much at times, especially if they don't know how long they've been going through this. They've been going through a crisis for a little while. So before they got to you, they were going through a lot before they got here. It's not just like, you're homeless. It's a process. So I think that's honestly a very good idea. I think more places probably should adopt. I think that having that grace period between everything happening, very good. I think that's good.
Yeah, and I was the youngest person there too. Like, I was the only kid in there. Everybody else was like grown women.
Well, you was 18, so technically you're not a kid. You're just a younger.
I mean, but I always, now that I'm 33, I always be like, I was a kid. Like, I always think back 18. I mean, because by law, no, but you know, like, I was a baby. Like, I felt like I was still a baby, you know, a baby having a baby, but I was a baby, you know.
I'm the total opposite. When I was 16, even now, I'm like, I was grown. I feel like I always just had to be grown for no reason. Like, my medical stuff, I took care of. I just feel like I had to grow up so fast. I was like, but why though? Yeah. Everybody's good to be, you know, young and whatever. And I feel like I had to always grow up fast. So, and at this point, I'm old. I consider myself old, but, you know, people say, you're not old yet. I'm like, I'm getting there. I'm going up there. But that's very interesting. And another thing about your story is that everybody's mixed up. In New York City, they're very divided in everything we do. We don't have people just lollygagging together like that. Maybe they do have it out here. I just haven't seen it. It's probable. And also, only people who share rooms is, like, I think people who do New Destiny, which if you live in New York, that's the DV sector. They tend to have people rooming together. But New York City, and, well, if you're a family, I should say that. That's because people go through trauma. They say probably could, like, kind of be together, have to be like person for that. If depending on which kids you also have at the time. But when you're a family in New York City, families with children, I don't know how the, I can't honestly tell you, but I feel like in the adult family system, it's probably the same way, to be honest. If you don't know, if you're whoever's listening, we have DV, we have the HERCS now. That's still counting, that people don't really count it, but with the migrants and stuff like that, who just, you know, the new arrivals, as we call it. We have families with children, family with adults, we have singles, men, and then single women. Technically, we have five sectors, but I always add the new comments. I feel like that's the one sector was not counted as much, even though they're in regular pop anyway, but they also have their outside people, so that's why I count them. But yeah, that's how we have it. And in regular DS, like with our shelters, when you are a family with a child, you do not share spaces. Like, I'm shocked to, like, even though I've heard it before, it's so shocked to me that people are sharing spaces and sharing the same air as somebody else in the place.
Yeah.
And then that person who's not even with a child is in there with you. Like, that blows my mind just a little bit, too. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And it was hard to adjust to that, too. Because it's just like, I don't know these people. It was hard for me to go to sleep. But I kept my son close. Like, I kept him real close. Like, I wouldn't let nobody hold him. They would ask, so he's so cute. He's so, can I hold? No, I'd be like, no. Like, I'm sorry, but no. Like, they would say that I was, like, mean or whatever. I'm like, nah, you can't hold my son. Like, right. You can't touch him. You can't hold him. Like, I don't trust y'all.
You must think it's a dog. It's not a plaything. It's a human being. That's mine.
But it's a lot of those women in there were, they had stuff going on too. You know, like you can tell, like they were recovering from
something.
Stuff. Yeah. So yeah. That was a thing too. It was just like at the time, I really didn't feel like I had any like mental issues or suffering from depression or anything like that. At that time, it was just like, I'm just homeless. My mother just kind of, you know, let me fend for myself type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was different dealing with that, especially but like I said, at some point I was in the room by myself, you know, for like a few months. You know, I was in there by myself because they kind of just like people was coming in and out. People was moving around. Some people got kicked out. You know, it was just a lot. They people would get kicked out for, you know, violating the rules. It was a bunch of rules.
Which I hate. But yeah.
You know, you had to eat at a certain time. If you missed that, you know, if you miss food, the times you don't eat.
What? I've heard about stuff like that, which to me, that's crazy. Especially for a mom, you want her to be as, you know, have all the food she can get to be healthy and stay alive for her kid. So could you not bring food inside yourself if you wanted to, or you had to only eat there?
Man.
Food?
No, they allowed you to bring like snacks. Like me personally, they allowed me to have stuff for myself and my kid.
Right.
Like in room, but not like heavy foods and stuff, just like little snacks. Cause I had like little snacks, like little baby food for him. After a while, cause he wasn't just drinking milk. After a while, it was like I had to feed him other things, you know. But they allowed snacks. But it was just like to keep the place clean. You couldn't have like meals and food in there, you know. If they told you if you want to like eat for real, you can eat outside. Like you can go out somewhere and eat.
Right.
If that's what you want. But they had their meals set time. Like, even when I had got food stamps, they took my stamps.
What?
Yeah. So I ended up getting the food stamps, but they would take it. They would take it all. And
that's
it
robbery. Nah.
Yeah. It went towards the meals in there. But, like, it was times where I couldn't eat. It was a lot because I had gotten to, like, a whole big thing with the lady that owned the place, because I'm like, y'all taking stuff from me. Like, you're taking stuff from me. Like, how am I supposed to progress and get out of here? Like, you're taking stuff from me. You know, it became one of those things, and I had to go. I ended up having to go.
That's
after
crazy.
A while.
Up here, if you don't, all right, this is how our rooms usually are. A lot of places, but in Corona, things got kind of upgraded. Like the old shelter I was in, apparently they have stoves now. I'm kind of tight about it. I like to cook anyway, but I would like to have an option of having a stove. But usually in shelters, it's very few here and there owned by the city, I should say. The other shelters are different. They could do what they want to do. Not really do what they want to do, but the ones owned by the city usually have at least a microwave and at least a refrigerator, whether it's big or small, depending on the space it's in. It usually has those two things. And if you are in a shelter, they have different tiers. They have a stove. Usually, they have a regular size stove, and they have sometimes like the little burner things kind of stove. So that's usually how it's made up. And they don't take your food stamps from you. You can be you, anybody has to do a PA case. If you don't qualify for anything other than because they want to get paid, my room was $4,000 a month. I'm just saying, but it's cheaper to be in an apartment, right? Couldn't get a voucher, but I could get $4,000 from the city every month for my rent for the shelter. But that's beside the point, guys.
Oh man.
don't make sense. You could move me out and be cheaper than
yeah
your shelter, but. Even though New York City rents is honestly getting that high, but at that time in 2017, I could have got a nice little luxury apartment for $4,000. To be honest, it might be a small luxury apartment, but a point no, luxury nevertheless. The odd apartments are small in New York, compared to other places. Cause I've seen some places, I'm like, yeah, I got space to run around, to breathe. We don't got it as much, but I love New York. I wouldn't move anywhere else. But
New York is a different place.
it
It's
is.
a different place, man. I've been there once and it's a lot. I thought Baltimore was a lot, but New York is a lot. It's expensive.
It is.
Yeah,
I
it's like
think you live here, you don't
expensive.
see it.
Yeah, but I mean, even some people that do live there, they say the same thing. It's just like
Yeah.
you don't get a lot for, I mean, I guess you do though, because New York has a lot of, I think New York has a lot of like opportunities and
That
stuff like that.
you
So
pay
it's
for not the space, you pay for the opportunities. That's what it is.
right.
But honestly, my jobs I do is online, and I still want to live here. I don't want to live anywhere else. I love my daughter's school. I love where I live. It has everything. If I go down a block, I could find something. I could be walking on the street. You want to do a survey, get some money? You could do it. Like, granted, I do that also when I would travel out the country. So I could probably just a me thing. I just find things love to find my money like to find me. And I'm like, okay, no problem. But I love living here. I don't know. We have all the seasons. People don't like that, but I love it. I love the snow. It's snowing right now. Well, it kind of stopped in right now. But I love living here. Like, it's a different beast. We have a it's dirty. We have a lot of that. We have a lot of that. But it's nowhere as like New York City, to be honest. I feel like honestly, even though we do have a lot of cracks in our system, our homeless system here is one of the better ones, I think, out of the country. I've heard stories from different places and how they, like example, you said you had to be in a room with a bunch of people with different things going on. That's not safe for a person. That is not safe for anybody. If you got to take a shower, you have to have your child right under you to make sure they're not getting hurt by like. I know how it is. I used to live with a person like that. Like, I rented a room, and every time I go, most time when I go take a shower, my child gotta be with me in the bathroom with the car seat. It's like you are on edge when you're living with other people, and they don't think they're very good for you or a good environment. So it could be a lot. And I feel like, years ago they used to be like people in gyms. Now they're doing it now because we are over. If you don't know, we have a migrant crisis right now. A lot of people from different countries, not only the Spanish countries, people only think of Spanish countries, there's not a lot of places in the world who are coming here. And because of that, because we have an open door policy to everybody, we have a, we take everybody. So because of that, we've always been doing this. It's not like a new thing, guys. Since back in the day, Ellis Island is, we took all everybody in. That's what New York does. So because we are our system is overpopulated, we have to kind of go back to back in the days and kids and families are being in gyms or things like that. It's because we don't have enough places to put them. But usually on a normal basis, before this was happening, we weren't having families in a congregate, as they call it, space, because it's not good for people's mental. It's not good for children's mental. It can be a lot. You don't know who's around your kids. You don't know if a molester's over there and they're looking at iron your kid when they go to the bathroom, look, it's like you just never know who's watching. And being in a big city, you would think people are not watching, but they're watching. It's not like small town watching, like, you know, like looking through the windows and the blinds and seeing you as much, depending where you live. Because in my old neighborhood, I definitely had a no neighbor who looked, she told everybody's business. But when you live like in Brooklyn and Manhattan and the Bronx, I feel like it's not as much of that. But it could be a lot. And to have your child in a space like that is really not the best for their mental space. And to grow up, it's one thing if it's you and your family in that space, but you, your family, Tom, Suzette, John, Peter, is all in this
Yeah,
space together,
everybody.
it could
Yeah.
drive you a bit nuts.
Yeah, I can remember the times where like you said, taking shots, you know, just taking him with me everywhere. Like even when I did go take a shower or, you know, brush my teeth or wash up or whatever. And then like they had this after a while they had like 'cause they started intaking, you know, more women with children and stuff. They had this woman like doing like daycare. Quote unquote daycare where you needed to leave, you can leave your child. I never left my child. Ended up having to do
Hold on.
counseling and like
Yeah.
somebody, yeah, I never, yeah, I just never did that. I never wanted to do that. So I eventually found someone that I can trust outside of that place,
Right.
who would watch. Like even sometimes, like I had to beg my, you know, like my sister or somebody, like, can you, so I can go try to make some type of like money or whatever, you know, because I just didn't want to stay there forever. Like I knew I needed to get out of there. And then they were supposed to help me, you know. Like I said,
Right.
they were taking, it seemed like they were taking more from me.
Right.
But I was promised, you know, like they would help me like get my own place and things like that. But I didn't, I would just say I didn't make it to that point
Right.
with them helping me like find my own place and stuff like that. I didn't make it that far because I ended up getting put out. Because of like the, it was just so much going on, like them taking from me, the curfew thing, the I became like stressed, like I feel like overly just stressed out about the whole thing. And yeah, they ended up putting me out. So
But
yeah,
how long were
and
you there again for before they put you out?
it had to be like 10 months.
And they didn't have,
It was
no.
like 10. I know
I'm
it wasn't
confused.
over.
That's ridiculous.
I was
They
there for a
didn't help you
while.
out.
Yeah.
10 months?
And they, I'm telling you, it was just, this place was not a good place. I thought it was.
That's horrible.
I thought it was, but over time it was just like they were like really taking from me. And I started to notice it. I'm like, I've been here for this long. You say you was gonna help me do, you know, help me with this, help me with that. Y'all not helping me. Y'all really not helping me. So I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because like I don't know everybody else's situation there. You get what I'm saying? Like I really didn't talk to the people there that much. Like it was like surface level stuff. Like I would say hi or whatever, but I didn't ask people like, okay, what are they doing for you? Are they helping you out? Are they, I know people were coming and going. Yeah. Yeah, I know people were coming and going, but I think just, I don't know, like just speaking from it, like just thinking about my mindset at that age, like I was just, I feel like they just used me. They knew I didn't know, you know. I really didn't know what was going on, you know. And I didn't have my mom, like I didn't have nobody to call and be like, you know, this is what's going, like a grown person. I mean, like I said, I was an adult, yes, but just call somebody to be like, somebody just tell me like, they like, what's going on? They using you. They need to speed this process up or whatever. You know, I just didn't have nobody to help me through that, but I kind of realized it on my own after a while, and I started speaking up. like what is going on, you know? And it was just they didn't like that, I guess, you know, and I had to go.
That's crazy. In New York City, guys, I don't even know about the stuff here. When you go in a shelter, well, first they have an eligibility thing. But you know, we had the 90-day rule from before. We got that taken over last year because it's like that wasn't helping people get out of shelter faster. But first you get when they go in, they usually help you get like city feps. And yes, there's some steps to get that, but usually go in, they make you help you do a NYCHA application, which is public housing for New York City. They usually help you with certain things. City feps is, I feel like, is a harder thing. They have to make sure you're eligible for certain things, and there's a lot of requirements, and to get into public housing is just like a lot. We're having new housing coming out, so guys, I'll have updates for that soon about the new thing that we're having out, but that's a whole nother episode. But I think it's just weird that they didn't help you sooner. And I know people will stay in shelter longer and things like that, but it just sounded like they didn't even start the process of certain things faster or helping her get a job. Some shelters help you get a job, some don't. But if you are in New York City and they have not helped you with no NYCHA, no type of voucher, if you're a high earner, you are eligible for SOTA, which is it's a rent for a year. You can live in New York, you can live out of New York. A lot of people move out of New York. Sometimes they come back to New York after 12 months because they can't afford it where they are. But some people, they are successful and stay out for the year and live wherever they're living in, you know, do it. So just be very mindful. If a person's not helping you in a shelter, again, I don't know her situation. I wasn't there. It's been a minute. Her kids are much bigger than I see her on YouTube. But ask for help from somewhere. Call 311 if they're not helping. New York City is big on that. You call 311, they're coming for them. I'm just saying. New York City, they might drag their feet with paying people's rent. But 311, you call them for the shelter was owned by the city, they're usually on it. Trust me. I've done it. I called them numerous times because they was playing with me. And I definitely got a better response after I called that number. Or ask for supervisors. People might call me the Karen. I do not care. If I need something to get done, I'm going to hire up, please. Manager, please. Right. Even on an overdraft fee for Chase, and they only want to give you 3 a year. I made a way to get 8 that year. I'm just saying. I'm not going to brag about having an overdraft fee. I'm just saying. The point is that if you get somebody to get something done, you might want to call your girl to help you out.
Yeah, see, it was a lot that I've learned over the years, over time.
Right.
Yeah, that was so long ago that it was just, I don't know. I don't know if I was just, I was really just stuck in a mindset of like, I shouldn't even be here. Where's my mom? Like, right. She should be helping me. You know, I started to become like angry and stuff. Like, I don't even want y'all help. Like, I don't even want to be here. You know, like, I shouldn't even be here type of thing. But what I know now, I wish I had known back then.
Dang. Did you ever get therapy for, you know, the issues that you have with your mom? Or you just kind of try to help yourself?
No. I've been in therapy, like, majority of my whole life. Like, even as a young child. When I was a young child, I was not forced, but it was through the court. Like, the court made myself and my siblings, we didn't have no other choice but to do therapy. So, like, the therapist would come to our school. I had to do it, you know, either during school or after school. When I lived with my grandmother for a while, I was in therapy. I saw a therapist maybe like 3-4 times a week.
Oh, because the foster care system, like kinship. Right? Is it? That's why.
Yeah. So I was in foster care. But then my grandma ended up getting full custody of us. My mom ended up giving up her rights. You know, so she ended up doing full custody, and then she went to court again. They went to court again. Then she got us back. And then, like, not too long after that, we became homeless. So, even as an adult, I've been in therapy. I haven't seen my therapist in a while just because of some of the things she told me to just kind of work on my own. But I can call her. You know, I can call her anytime. I have her personal number. Like, I love her. Like, but yeah, it's stuff that I have to work on my own. Like, I feel like I've been doing a very good job with handling certain situations and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been in therapy my whole life. Like, I've had to. It's best for me, and that's another reason why I started my YouTube channel. It's best for me to not hold stuff in. I have to get it off my chest, or I would go crazy. Like, I would destructive, like, and I would go crazy. And I don't want that, you know. I don't think nobody wants that. Not from me. So
It's definitely, I think we all need to find outlets, because when you bottle, people think like, oh, because we have all these, especially after Corona. I think you can see it more after Corona, because especially in New York City, the violence rate has been up 1,000. But we gotta really think about it. We need outlets as humans to be able to get things out. And if we're cramped up in a house for a long period of time, you're gonna go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So I think that's why, which the mental health is, it went up. Also, a lot of DV happened around that time. People are stuck in the house with their abuser, or didn't even know who the person was, because they always on, especially in New York City, on the go. We're on the go all the time. We're just very fast paced over here. But people need you need to find an outlet. You need to find somebody to talk to. You need to journal thing, whatever suits you best. If you want to do a YouTube channel and just have everything private, not people don't want to watch it. It can just be your little diary for yourself. If you do not like to write like myself, so just find a way to take care of yourself. Mental health is a thing we need to work on in society in general. Also, it's just take care of yourself. Just self care.
Yeah.
What it is, self care.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you got that. Happy was the reason why I also asked to use a foster care, because I know foster kids, well, in New York City. I don't know about other states. They have to do. They're mandatory to do therapy. I think every city we have a rule that the kids after a certain age, I think it was, I want to say 5, when they could kind of comprehend what's going on, they have to automatically go in foster care. I mean, in therapy, so they could talk about their issues, how they feel, what's going on in the house, and things like that. So that's why I understood, like, maybe she was in foster care. It makes sense. She's great grandma, kinship makes sense. If you don't know what kinship is, it's usually when, I want to say family, but I think they could probably do friends too. But family members take in somebody else's kid, and then the system pays them to keep the kid usually. I think it's a better route than just to taking people's kids, because I feel like taking a kid is just responsibility, and without no money, it's kind of hard. Unless you're rich, unless you're a baller, you know, it's kind of hard.
It's just hard for me, I think, with or without money, just taking on that responsibility.
That's true.
Your mental need to be strong, because that's a lot. Like, even like in my case, my mom had 5 kids,
Oh, wow.
so my grandmother had to take on all 5 of us. That was a lot. I know it was a lot. But yeah, now that I'm grown, I just know that it was a lot. But she did a good job, though, I would say.
Hi guys, we're at the end of part 2 of Rudy's story. Come back for next week for the last and final installation of her story. I hope you're enjoying. I hope you're learning. I hope that you can take something from this and bring it back to your communities and see how you can make it better there. In the foster care system, in the homeless system, in youth and runaway systems, it can be so many things here that intersect with things. So I hope that you could take it back to your community and tell people who are in the higher ups that maybe we should do something this way, this way, or this way to kind of, do things better so we can be better as a country. Follow us on all social media. If you want to also share your story, you can. We're here anytime. You can DM us, you can email us, things like that. And we'd love to hear from you. If you also would like to give resources, we would like that too. For New York City only, for the resources, I'm sorry. Stories anywhere. Anyway, guys. Talk to you next time. Bye.